If you're feeling exhausted, puffy, anxious, foggy, gaining weight, or just not like yourself, you're not imagining it. Women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s are experiencing massive hormonal shifts, and no one is explaining what's actually happening. I'm Katie Whalen, co-founder of Joy. I built Joy because I lived this. The fatigue, the mood swings, the weight changes, the confusion. Your symptoms are biological, not personal. And AI-generated lab reports won't fix them. Every Joy lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who specializes in women's hormones and connects every biomarker to how you feel. Energy, metabolism, mood, sleep, skin, weight, everything. Then, we personalize real solutions. Hormone therapy, peptide therapy, supplements, and lifestyle protocols. Get started at joyandblogues.com today. This month, new customers get 50% off labs, and you can add our estrogen face cream for just $1 with clinician approval. Use promo code podcast at joyandblokes.com.
So here's some documented shooting incidents in 2025 where ICE has shot somebody, whether it's they shot them and or killed or whatever, just where they've at least shot somebody. So September 12, 2025, at Franklin Park in Chicago, Illinois. So the victim of that shooting was Silverio Villegas Gonzalez. He was 38 years old, or is. I don't know if they killed him. We're going to find out. So ICE officer shot this individual at a traffic stop. Oh yeah, they killed him. So he was killed by a single gunshot during an attempted arrest. ICE claimed he tried to flee and struck/dragged an agent. Oh, this is the one where it was confirmed at a later time, like that the dude hadn't even been dragged or whatever. He wasn't in the hospital. It was fine. They said like he was walking around like after the incident and stuff like that. But like ICE and them had came out and said that he was all like in grave condition and all got dragged by the car and all this other shit, and that didn't even happen. Let's see. So on September 12, 2025, 38-year-old Silverio Villegas Gonzalez was shot and killed by an unarmed United States Immigration and Customs Enforcement officer while trying to flee a traffic stop in the Franklin Park suburb of Chicago, Illinois. No, not unarmed, my bad. An unnamed United States Immigration and Customs Enforcement officer. Gonzalez's death was the first fatal shooting by immigration agents during the second Trump administration and the third death during an immigration operation. So, let's see. So Gonzalez, who was originally from the Mexican state of Michoacán, had lived in Chicago for 20 years and had no criminal history. Y'all heard that? Gonzalez, who was originally from the Mexican state of Michoacán, had lived in Chicago for 20 years and had no criminal history. So he had no record. So it sounds like they were stereotyping him. You know what I mean? Seeing he was Latin, they're like, let's pull a dude over and just see. Let's see if he's illegal. Let's see if he has any warrants. Let's see if he's got any dope or drugs in the car. That's my opinion. So ICE agents were conducting a targeted traffic stop in Franklin Park, where Gonzalez reportedly resisted arrest and attempted to flee, reportedly seriously injuring an ICE agent, prompting another agent to fire at Gonzalez. However, body cam footage showed the ICE agent describing his injuries as, quote, nothing major. Eyewitnesses later stated that they did not see Gonzalez's vehicle dragging any ICE agents, and a truck driver stated that Gonzalez reversed after being cut off by agents to be taken into custody. This sounds kind of similar to the Good case, the Minnesota situation. So video posted to social media showed ICE agents breaking the driver's side window of Gonzalez's vehicle and Gonzalez being pulled from and away from the vehicle already wounded. It was later reported that Gonzalez was shot at close range, with the bullet traveling through the back of his neck and stopping in his chest, with graze wounds found on two fingers. He was killed after he dropped his children off at school. Dog, that's the same exact shit. Renee Good? She had just dropped her daughter off at school. They said, like, shortly before all that shit, before that ICE agent killed her. Same thing with this guy. He had just dropped his kid off at school. And then they murked him. That's crazy. Gonzalez's body was repatriated to Michoacan on September 26, where his funeral was held. Man. Following the release of the body cam footage, Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker stated that the video, quote, has brought to light that the injuries were, in the agent's own words, nothing major. A man is dead. A community is shaken up, and we are yet again left with more questions than answers. The killing was condemned by the Secretariat of Foreign Affairs of Mexico. Wow. They also have a list here of killings by law enforcement officers in the United States in 2024. I'm just going to read just a small segment of this if y'all are interested. So this is a list of killings by law enforcement officers in the United States in September 2025. This is a list of people reported killed by non-military law enforcement officers in the United States in September 2025, whether in the line of duty or not, and regardless of reason or method, the listing documents the occurrence of a death, making no implications regarding wrongdoings or justifications on that part of the person killed or officer involved. Killings are arranged by date of the incident that caused death. Different death dates, if known, are noted in the description. The table below lists 106 people. Wow. So I'm not obviously going to read all these names, but let's look. What I'm going to do here now is I'm going to see. This is on the Wikipedias too. So I'm going to just go down here because they have the date of the incident, the name of the deceased, and then they have race, location, description. So let's just go down. I'm going to just kind of scroll down through here. And just see the races of individuals. And I bet the majority of them are going to be black and brown people. And I'm not saying police don't shoot white people. They do. Look what just happened in Minnesota. So they definitely do. I'm just saying. So Tesfa Leith, who was 45, they got shot on 9/30/2025 in Riverdale Park, Maryland. So Chevrolet officers responded to a stabbing and encountered the suspect. The suspect charged at Police Chief David Morris with two knives and was shot and killed by him. The footage from the witnesses... Okay, so anyways, the individual was black. This is kind of confusing. So they have another one here. It's an unidentified male, though, that was killed on September 30th of 2025. They have the race unknown. How do you not know unless they were shot and maybe, like, burned or something to not recognition? So a man called police to discuss an assault that occurred 5 years earlier in Reno, Nevada. The officer entered the man's apartment to discuss the case. The man then allegedly grabbed a knife and attacked the officer who shot and killed him. How do they not know the race of the individual? Here's another one, unknown. Okay, here's another one. Another individual was killed on September 30th, 2025. Brandon Nichols, he was black. This was in Ascension, Paris, Louisiana. I'm not even reading the circumstances. I'm just Theodore S. Speaker II. He was black. He was killed in Egypt, Texas. Another black individual, Von Tarian Anthony. He was black, Memphis, Tennessee. Says MPD responded to a shots fired report before encountering Anthony. He reportedly pointed a gun at one of them before another fatally shot him. That was out of Memphis, Tennessee. Thomas Royan, unknown, out of Cambria Heights, New York. They're saying an off-duty officer attempted to make a left turn before a motorcyclist slammed into the vehicle's front door, ejecting him. The motorcyclist was killed and two other people were injured. Damn. Now here's one white person, Thomas Jacob Sanford, who was 40. He got killed on September 28, 2025 by the police in Grand Blanc, Michigan. So police shot and killed Sanford after he opened fire at a Mormon church. Oh, okay. Shooting 11 people, killing two. Oh, so he was on some mass, you know what I'm saying? Some mass killing shit. Two other deceased victims were found in the ruins after he caused fire in the church. The footage was released. Yeah, that happened in Grand Blanc, Michigan. If y'all want to go do some of your own research on that. Thomas Jacob Sanford. Damn. Hold on, I'm just... Wait, hold on one second, y'all. Yeah. So the police shot and killed him. That was a white fella. Here's another white fella too. He got killed by the police on September 28, 2025. Name was David Steinbach. He was 52 years old, white fella. This happened in Phoenix, Arizona. So a man who pointed a gun at himself and fired it into his home was shot to death by officers after he refused to drop it. The footage was released. That happened out of Phoenix. Okay, those are the only white ones so far I saw. Here's a Hispanic fella. Yolanda Ramirez, Hispanic, out of Brentwood, California. So during a call at a home, police attempted to arrest Ramirez. Witnesses then said that they saw an officer slam Ramirez's head against a car window during her arrest. That's not cool. She suffered a brain bleed and died in the hospital on top. Oh, wow. So the car rolled up on her, started beating her, slamming her head into the car and shit, and killed her. She died in the hospital. Says she suffered a brain bleed and died in a hospital on October 3rd. Yolanda Ramirez. That's crazy, y'all. That one's out of Brentwood, California, if y'all want to go check that out. I'm kind of tripping off these unknowns. I mean, is that? Well, that is, because there's a lot of unknowns here. Because even if you don't, like, obviously if someone's laying there dead, like, I guess maybe you, like, you can, I mean, maybe it's a situation where you can't tell. Maybe someone looks Latino. Maybe they look, you know, maybe that, because, like, some Latino and some Native people kind of have similar features or whatever, so I could see maybe where they're, and you can't ask the person, and you can't, if they don't have any family or whatever. So, like, I mean, I'm sure there's ways of finding that out, I would assume, with all the technology and DNA stuff we have nowadays, because yeah, like with the ancestry, so I'm sure they can figure that out. But it's just crazy that there's a lot of unknowns, like, because if nothing else, like, when you,
if you're feeling exhausted, puffy, anxious, foggy, gaining weight, or just not like yourself, you're not imagining it. Women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s are experiencing massive hormonal shifts, and no one is explaining what's actually happening. I'm Katie Whalen, co-founder of Joy. I built Joy because I lived this. The fatigue, the mood swings, the weight changes, the confusion. Your symptoms are biological, not personal. and AI-generated lab reports won't fix them. Every Joy lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who specializes in women's hormones and connects every biomarker to how you feel. Energy, metabolism, mood, sleep, skin, weight, everything. Then, we personalize real solutions. Hormone therapy, peptide therapy, supplements, and lifestyle protocols. Get started at joyandblokes.com today. This month, new customers get 50% off labs, and you can add our estrogen face cream for just $1 with clinician approval. Use promo code PODCAST at joyandblokes.com.
Get in touch with a family member of a deceased. They would be able to tell you what the individual is. I said, oh, that's a little confusing. Maybe I'm like overlooking something or not thinking about something. I'll just read this last one. So the majority of these people are black, though, or Hispanic. I've seen a few white people. Okay, Walter A. Wright, who was black. This is out of Gary, Indiana. So Gary police responded to a call about a domestic battery and encountered the suspect, who was armed with a gun and had exited the house. Officers then shot and killed him. I'm just kind of, you know. Here's another one. We'll just read this last one. Trina Jones, who was 62, she was killed on September 23rd of 2025. Black woman. Out of Hibbia Valley, Virginia. So they're saying police were called after Jones was struck and injured by a car while crossing an intersection. Jones was conscious after being hit, but wished to remain Jones was conscious after being hit, but wished to remain into the road until police arrived, with the driver positioning their car to block traffic. When an officer arrived, the driver moved their vehicle, and then the officer drove forward, accidentally driving over Jones. Damn. Whoa, an Asian person. Wow. Hui Li. My apologies if I'm butchering that name. It's Huily. She or he was 41. They got killed by the police on September 23rd, 2025. Now keep in mind, when I'm saying kill, like, they were killed by these people. I mean, by the cops. Whether it was accidental or intentional or whatever, like, I'm reading some of the circumstances, but I'm just saying, like, these are officer-involved deaths, killings. So this was an Asian individual. So this happened in San Diego, California. So officers responded to a report of a man armed with a knife and a gun at a City Heights elementary school. After de-escalation efforts and less lethal means failed, they shot and killed the man. Although police said a gun and knife were found at the scene, the man was reportedly unarmed when the police shot him. Let's see. All right, y'all. Let's get back to the episode.
Cold World with DVJ and Michelle is hosted by DVJ and Michelle, a real-life couple from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, who bring both personal chemistry and political clarity to the mic. As Democrats rooted in a working-class Midwestern city, their perspectives are shaped by lived experience, community realities, and an unapologetic focus on social justice. Host styles and dynamic, DVJ brings a direct, no-filter, truth-first style. His approach is grounded in lived experience, including incarceration and personal transformation, which gives his commentary weight, credibility, and urgency. DVJ challenges dominant narratives around race, crime, power, masculinity, and accountability, often saying what others won't. Michelle provides a grounded, thoughtful, and incisive counterbalance. Her style is reflective but firm, often asking the deeper questions, adding emotional intelligence, and making sure conversations don't lose the human element. She brings clarity, empathy, and perspective, especially around relationships, gender, family, and social impact. Together, their long-term partnership, over a decade, shows up naturally on the show. Their chemistry allows for honest disagreement, humor, vulnerability, and trust, creating conversations that feel authentic rather than performative. Listeners hear not just opinions, but a relationship navigating real issues in real time, political and cultural perspective, As Democrats from Milwaukee, DBJ and Michelle speak from a city deeply shaped by segregation, incarceration, labor history, and racial inequality. Their politics are not abstract. They are rooted in policy consequences, community outcomes, and lived reality, making the show resonate with listeners who want more than surface-level political talk. Contact for sponsorships and endorsements, 262-385-3219, dvjohnson73@yahoo.com.
Check this out, y'all. I got some information I'm going to read if y'all would allow me to do so. So, we all know January 6th. We all know about January 6th, right? And there was a lot of conversation about it the other day. Because when was that? 3 days ago? You know what I'm saying? I'm saying it didn't just happen 3 days ago. You know what I'm saying? The anniversary or whatever they call this shit. Of the January 6th riots. Of the criminal thugs. A lot of them individuals need to have been raised better by their parents. I'll say that too. But anyways, so this is specifically for my peeps in Wisconsin, right? I mean, I live here, so, you know, a lot of the content we're going to talk about, a lot of things we're going to discuss are going to be about Milwaukee and or Wisconsin. Y'all understand that. So, here's an accurate source list of individuals from Wisconsin who have been charged, convicted, and or publicly named in official records in connection with the January 6th, 2021 U.S. Capitol attack riots. So I looked up information and found names of people, companies, you know, all that kind of stuff. Of people and companies and stuff, businesses or whatever that were involved with the January 6th riots. These individuals have been charged, convicted, whatever, you know what I mean? And then I got some names of some companies and businesses and stuff too that are Trump supporters, because I think it's important for us to stay away from anything Trump. You know what I mean? Because just think, and I know because like all of us, and that's one of the reasons I'm here, is to spread this information. Give you all the information, and then you do it with what you choose. But, because I know people don't have all day to go and look around and see what businesses Trump supported and all that stuff, you know what I mean, and all that. But I got the time to do that. It's one of the reasons, you know, that's the payoff here. Y'all listen, I provide the information and shit. You know what I mean? So, I thought it was important to provide information so we know to stay away from these companies. You know what I mean? And I think it's important for me to list the names of these individuals from Wisconsin that were involved in the January 6th riots. You know why? Because some of those people were your teachers, your lawyers, your gym teachers, your doctors, your corrections officers. Why do you think they run around with masks on their face? Because some of these people, you know what I mean, they work regular jobs and shit, and then they're ICE agents. They're like moonlighting as ICE agents and shit, terrorizing people. In my opinion, that's my opinion. I got every right to it. So, these are the companies. Well, I'm gonna read the list of names first of the individuals that were convicted. So, Wisconsin individuals charged and or convicted in the January 6th cases. Kevin Daniel Loftus of Eau Claire. He entered the Capitol engaged in violent entry and disorderly conduct. He pleaded guilty to parading, demonstrating, or picketing in a Capitol building. He was sentenced to probation. And later, while he was out on probation, he violated, which led to jail time. So, you know what I'm saying? He was out on probation and shit and fucked up or whatever. It's probably getting high, maybe doing meth or something. I don't know. Maybe drinking and shit. David Charles Mish Jr. from West Dallas. He was charged with unlawful entry and disorderly conduct. He pleaded guilty to parading and demonstrating in a Capitol building. Y'all, they were pissing and shitting all over in people's like offices and stuff like that. And then Trump's bitch ass turned around and supported that stuff. People had the nerve to say that, like, there was nothing wrong with that. They beat the shit out of police. They were fucking people up. They were, like, spearing people with, like, the flags and all that shit. Yeah, man, they were smashing people. There was one guy that one officer got, like basically crushed. So, yeah, so, this David Charles Mish Jr. out of West Dallas, he was charged with unlawful entry and disorderly conduct, pled guilty to parading and demonstrating in a Capitol building. He was sentenced to 30 days in jail and restitution. That's it. That's an example of white privilege. So when like us black and brown people, when we talk about white privilege and then you have some white people, they get upset. There's an example of what white privilege is. It means you're afforded, like you guys are going to get lighter sentences. You guys are going to get the benefit of the doubt. You're going to get taken to McDonald's after you kill somebody. What was that, Dylann Roof? Didn't they take him to Burger King or McDonald's and shit after he did the school shooting? Michael Fitzgerald out of Janesville, Wisconsin. He was charged with obstructing law enforcement, entering and restricting buildings, violent entry / disorderly conduct. Cases are still pending. Case pending, obstruction charge dismissed as of 2024. So it sounds like his shit was dismissed. Abraham Markovsky out of La Crosse. So what this piece of crap did, he entered a restricted building, disruptive conduct, parading and demonstrating. I wonder if some of these people are some of the people that pissed on shit all over the place in there, acting like animals. And they have the nerve to call us animals? They're literally shitting and pissing like animals. Abraham Markovsky out of La Crosse entered a restricted building. He had disruptive conduct, parading and demonstrating. He pleaded guilty and was sentenced to probation and restitution. Come on, man. How are you going to get probation for breaking into the Capitol and shit? Ransacking and raiding the Capitol. You get paper? This charge that I'm currently on, that I'm doing the parole and all that shit for and I got released for, is a forgery charge, y'all. And they gave me 3 years for that. But you can go into the Capitol, piss shit, do all this shit, beat the shit out of police, break stuff, all this kind of stuff, and get probation and never see jail. That's white privilege. Because if there was been a bunch of black people, a bunch of Latin people rioting at that Capitol and storming that Capitol, y'all already know what would have happened. Y'all already know what would have happened. I don't even need to say it. So this Paul Edward Kavasik. Kavasik. Anyway, they'll be having some weird last names sometimes. Milwaukee area. Oh, this guy's from the Milwaukee area. This Paul Edward Kavasik. He entered a building and remained. Wow. So he went into the building and like was basically trying to hide in there and shit. Remaining in restricted building, disorderly conduct, parading, demonstrating.
If you're feeling exhausted, puffy, anxious, foggy, gaining weight, or just not like yourself, you're not imagining it. Women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s are experiencing massive hormonal shifts, and no one is explaining what's actually happening. I'm Katie Whalen, co-founder of Joy. I built Joy because I lived this. The fatigue, the mood swings, the weight changes, the confusion. Your symptoms are biological, not personal. And AI-generated lab reports won't fix them. Every Joy lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who specializes in women's hormones and connects every biomarker to how you feel. Energy, metabolism, mood, sleep, skin, weight, everything. Then, we personalize real solutions, hormone therapy, peptide therapy, supplements, and lifestyle protocols. Get started at joyandblokes.com today. This month, new customers get 50% off labs, and you can add our estrogen face cream for just $1 with clinician approval. Use promo code PODCAST at joyandblokes.com.
He pled guilty. He initially served a short sentence. Wow! So he must have got out it, because they're saying this guy fled and then was later arrested. Hold on, let's click on this Paul Edward Kovacic fella. He's got that rabbit in his blood. He'll leave. Remember when I was telling y'all, when I done ran off from halfway houses? Y'all can go look my shit up. I ran off from KCC, Kenosha Correctional Center, back in the late 90s. Walked right out of there. I got caught the same night. I know, dumb, right? I know. Silly ass. That was the silliest. Man, that was the dumbest shit I ever did in my life. Well, one of the dumbest things. I ended up getting 2 years for that. I either got 18 months or 2 years. I don't remember, it was so long ago. But I got a new charge for that. Yeah, let's charge with escape. Did they ever, I'm going to have to go look. Did they charge the Slender Man case that Morgan got, or whatever her name is, that ran off basically from where she was at? She should have been charged with escape. I was charged with escape. So, who are the Wisconsin residents charged with crimes in the January 6th insurrection? I wanted to click on this one article to find out about that one guy that we're just talking about. Okay, here we go. Here we go. This Abram Markovsky and Brandon Nelson. So Markovsky and Nelson from La Crosse and Dane counties, respectively, both admitted to entering the Capitol for about 40 minutes during the insurrection. The duo drove to Washington, D.C. from Wisconsin the night before, but were not found to have engaged in any violent acts. Both pled guilty to their charges and apologized for their actions while in court. They were both sentenced to 2 years on probation and ordered each of them to pay $500 in restitution. That's it. Additionally, Nelson was fined $2,500 and Markowski $1,000. Hold on, let's see. So this Michael Fitzgerald, a U.S. Marine Corps veteran now residing in Janesville, was one of the very first people to be arrested by law enforcement after January 6th. Court documents show Fitzgerald at the leading edge of the crowd that broke through the Capitol windows, where security cameras then observed him walking around the building for about 40 minutes before exiting. This is the Michael Fitzgerald, y'all. He's out of Wisconsin. Wow, dude is a U.S. Marine Corps veteran, y'all. And he was storming the Capitol, acting like an animal and shit. Wow. Well, I'm still trying to find information on that one guy that they said had fled. Oh, here we go, the Paul Edward Kovacic. So Kovacic, who lives in the Milwaukee area, was in the Capitol on the House side for roughly 60 to 90 minutes on January 6th, but was not found to have engaged in any violent acts. He also recorded and uploaded multiple YouTube videos of his time inside the building. Kovacic agreed to a plea deal in December of 2022 and was sentenced to 90 days in jail and 3 years of paper in June 2023. He also had to pay $500 in restitution. They don't have the part in here where there was... Because in the other one, they said there was something about him fleeing or whatever. Yeah, these guys, man, these people, it's just craziness, y'all, yeah. Wow. All right, hold on. So, I'm going to go back to this. So I'll just read this last fella's name. So this Joseph Catani out of Colgate, Wisconsin. He was charged with assaulting law enforcement. He pulled officer's face shield off He was charged with civil disorder, entering/restricting building, disorderly conduct, parading, and demonstrating. Federal indictment was filed. And then this Charles R. Walters out of Sparta, Wisconsin, was charged with destruction of government property. They gave him a felony. Entering restricted building, disorderly conduct, parading/demonstrating. Sounds like all of them got that one charge. Sentencing was pending as of latest public records. Wow. These individuals range from misdemeanor, unlawful entry/parading charges to felony assault on law enforcement charges. Some, such as Riley Casper, received significant prison sentences for violence against officers. Others received probation and restitution for nonviolent conduct. And a small number, including Walters and Catani, were charged later and were awaiting sentencing at last public reporting. Okay, so some of them are still dealing with their shit. I feel like it should have been more people charged, actually. For real. There should have been more people that were charged. All right, now we're going to get to some of these companies and businesses that support Trump, because we need to know who those companies and or businesses are so we know to stay away from them, to stay out of them, to not support them. You know what I mean? So I'm going to just give you all the information and then just do with it as you choose. Okay, let's see. Okay. So here are some individuals, business leaders slash billionaires with noted support. These are individuals associated with business leaderships who have publicly donated to Trump, aligned PACs, or campaigns. So we already know about Elon Musk and his racist ass. Richard and Elizabeth Uline, founders of Uline, major donors to Republican causes, including Trump-related committees. Mark Andreessen and others tied to MAGA Incorporation donations, documented in FEC/press disclosures. So this Mark, let's see. This Winklevoss twins, never heard of them. Cameron and Tyler. So they're cryptocurrency entrepreneurs who donated to Trump-aligned super PAC funds. Here's some groups and PACs supporting Trump campaigns. These are political action committees or donor networks, not individual companies, that have raised and distributed funds in support of Donald Trump. I added the Trump part in there. Political efforts. So this MAGA Inc., which is a super PAC aligned with Trump-backed candidates and agenda. And this other bullshit called Preserve America PAC, another super PAC that supported Trump's presidential campaigns. And I'm not sure if, like, these individuals, like, or these names of these, I don't know if they, like, voted for dude, but they definitely supported him by donating to his campaigns. So it's the same goddamn thing. Okay, here's some companies or corporate entities with public records of donations to Donald Trump. I added the Trump part. That donated to Donald Trump's aligned campaign/PACs. Dude, Donald Trump is the worst human being ever in life. In my opinion, he's the worst excuse for a human being ever. And he's a waste of skin, in my opinion. All right, so here's some companies. So Reynolds American/RAI Service Company. So these are tobacco company reported as a significant corporate donor to Trump-aligned super PACs. So Reynolds American/RAI Services. So we'll have to look up and see exactly what companies those are too. We can do that on a later episode. Hendrix Holding Company. So a conglomerate whose contributions predominantly went to Trump-aligned committees in recent election cycles. McMahon Ventures. That's the Vince McMahon, Linda McMahon, all them. All that Vince McMahon, dude's got all kinds of allegations against him. Dude's doing all types of shit. When he was running the WWE, a lot of the shit is never really seen the light of day. It's crazy how these people can do all this foul shit and just get away with it. Or cover it up and not like... So this McMahon Ventures consulting firm associated with Linda McMahon with large past donations to GOP leadership, and Trump-related campaigns. Crown Quest Operating, their energy company whose executives have donated significant amounts to Trump-related political efforts. M&M Industries, reported to have given a large share of its political contributions to Trump-aligned PACs. That's M&M Industries, like the M&M candy. I don't know if that's them. I'm just saying so you guys know it's M&M Industries. ABC Supply are reported as a business entity whose political contributions seem to have favored the Donald Trump slash Republican aligned groups in recent elections. Yeah. So those are just some of the ones I'm not going to read, you know what I mean? But please go do some more research. But those are just some of the names and or companies and or businesses and shit that seem to want to fuck with Trump. But like I said, this last time I said, I just wanted to read y'all that so you know, like if you're at the store or you're thinking about buying something or you're, you know what I mean? And now maybe that you know that, you'll be like, oh shit, I ain't fucking with that company now. They supported Trump. Fuck that. I'm going to go somewhere else. You know what I mean? So anyways, all right, y'all. I'm going to get out of here. Enjoy the rest of the episode. We're not going to talk about Trump anymore this weekend. All right, y'all. Go do something good for somebody. And keep yourself safe out here. All right, y'all. I'm going to let this burning spear play for a minute. Vote Democrat if you would, please. Please support Democratic things. Please have some empathy out here. And yeah, that's it. Biggie's in this one. This is SP the Ghost. And I think it sounds like Biggie's in this one too, y'all. Check it out. When I think Pun's son is in here too. Big Pun's son. Chris Rivers. That's Big Son. Big Pun's kid.
If you're feeling exhausted, puffy, anxious, foggy, gaining weight, or just not like yourself, you're not imagining it. Women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s are experiencing massive hormonal shifts, and no one is explaining what's actually happening. I'm Katie Whalen, co-founder of Joy. I built Joy because I lived this. The fatigue, the mood swings, the weight changes, the confusion. Your symptoms are biological, not personal. And AI-generated lab reports won't fix them. Every Joy lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who specializes in women's hormones and connects every biomarker to how you feel. Energy, metabolism, mood, sleep, skin, weight, everything. Then, we personalize real solutions. Hormone therapy, peptide therapy, supplements, and lifestyle protocols. Get started at joyandblokes.com today. This month, new customers get 50% off labs, and you can add our estrogen face cream for just $1 with clinician approval. Use promo code PODCAST at joyandblokes.com.
Look. Hold on, rewind it from Michelle, because we're watching the video, too. Well, it's coming up.
Yes, that same music. Left
to true freedom. Mm-hmm. Can't wait. Want to say anything to the peeps, baby, before the weekend comes? I think this might be the last one, though, before the weekend, because we got the Packers got playoff game tomorrow against the Bears. You guys are going down, Bears. It's in Chicago. And then Sunday, there'll be more playoffs. So I'm just going to be, you know, enjoying a lot of sports, relaxing. Mm-hmm. We did a lot last week. It feels like last weekend we didn't really have a weekend to ourselves. It feels like we were doing a lot of running around and cleaning and doing stuff. Yeah, but we put our bed together last night. Michelle put that frame together like an engineer. Baby, that was very impressive.
Thanks.
Because see how it started, and y'all don't sit here and be like, damn, you didn't help, or damn, you didn't help. Not like when we brought the frame in, right? So I wheeled it in, I put it like alongside in the living room on the floor, whatever. We were like, oh, let's just do it tomorrow, whatever. And then we kind of looked at each other like, should we just do it? So I dragged it out into the living room, and then we opened the box on all that stuff, and then she kind of like just started separating everything, all the pieces and all this, you know, so I saw right away like how she was doing it. She had a plan, she had, so I kind of just, you know what I mean? I was like, let me do her thing instead of having two people kind of like, you know what I mean? Trying to read the directions and trying to grab this and move that and try, because you both people have their ideas of how they want to set it up and get it, you know what I mean? So I seen like she took control of that, and she like she had an order and all. I was like, okay, let me just be the muscle. And that's why I told her, like, when you get stuff, like, you know, let me know what I need to take or grab or move or, you know, screw in or whatever, or like. But like she pretty much at the end of the day, she, if I'm being super accurate, she did about 92% of it by herself.
Yeah, I just struggled with a few pieces, but
I mean, And it really didn't take you that long, because I think the thing said it would take like
it's hours. It's 1 to 2 hours with two people.
And you did it in about that time with one, with just you, basically.
It took me 2 hours, just me. And, but I also took breaks, because I was like...
They were short-ass breaks, so...
Once I got the headboard together...
Oh, yeah, she grabbed her little glass of wine. She's like,
I need some wine. And then I was like, let me just look at all the steps and see, like, how it comes together. So... I took my time, but it got put together correctly. And with no stress. You know, usually when you put stuff together, you get frustrated.
Yes.
Whatever. So that's why I, like, took breaks and did it. So it's all done now, and I had a good night's sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Although I'm tired today, but that's not unusual. Mm-hmm.
Go, Pack, go, though.
Yep.
Cincinnati police custody this morning after he alleged.
All right, we continue to get updates this morning on the police and Secret Service investigation over at Vice President J.D. Vance's home in East Walnut Hills. WLWT News 5's Nicole Aponte live there for us this morning. And Nicole, we've now learned the name of the man who's facing charges.
Kelly, that's right. That man's name is William DeFore. He's 26 years old. We know that he's in Cincinnati police custody this morning after he allegedly caused property damage, including breaking.
So it's for audio podcast purposes. This is a white gentleman, younger fella. And the only reason I said that is because it's in the city, out of the city of Cincinnati. So, and I know maybe I shouldn't assume or stereotype, but I bet people listening probably thought, since they heard the city Cincinnati, they probably assumed it was a black or brown person that broke into dude's crib. You know what I mean? You're probably, oh, Cincinnati, oh, that's where the blacks live. I'm speaking to anyone that might be listening that's like maybe potentially might be a racist, or you never know. There's a couple of them probably listening that don't agree with us or don't like us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, basically, those would be like the trolls. Because there's always going to be a few of those. But, yeah, this is a... That's terrible. I mean, I don't care, personally, that J.D. Vance's house got broken into, you know?
Windows to the vice president's home here in East Walnut.
You know why I don't? Because he wouldn't care if mine got broken into. And you know why I don't? Because he doesn't care about this lady that got killed. He was blaming it on her. The lady in Minnesota? Dude, blame that on her. And wants to give the officer an out. He said that he has total...
Absolute.
Yeah, he said he has absolute immunity. So even in J.D. Vance's mind, he feels like cops should be able to do basically whatever. He set it up there. He was like, he was doing a federal, whatever he said, like a federal job, or he was doing his job or whatever. And, like, the lady interfered and then tried to say, like, why was she there? It is not illegal. And y'all can go look that up. As crazy as that sounds, it is not illegal for someone to be protesting and park their car where she had her car.
And I believe she lived on that street.
And she lived on that street. And it is not illegal. I don't care how someone might say, oh, that was dumb. She shouldn't have did that. Why is she doing that? You can't do that. Why does she? It's not illegal. It doesn't matter how you feel about what she should or shouldn't have been doing. It's not illegal. So therefore, that cop should have never been grabbing on her door, telling her to get the fuck out the car. And the cop that shot her, he planted himself in front of that vehicle.
And she was waving them by. She wasn't like...
Exactly.
...blocking them. She was waving them by.
Which is not a sign of aggression at all.
Right.
And this... So the dude that came out, his name is Jonathan Ross. All the information come out. He's like a 10-year... He's an ICE agent. That's what he does, I guess. But supposedly... Well, not supposedly. He was in front of another vehicle and got dragged. You know what I mean? And although I don't know the circumstances of that situation, but there again, it's like, is that, it's like a pattern of him like putting himself in front of vehicles when their trainer says you're not supposed to do that. They say you're supposed to put yourself in like a L shape or whatever when you're like kind of like trying to surround a vehicle or you're in the presence of a vehicle. I would assume it'd probably be safer to be behind it, because if someone's trying to reverse, you can't control, like when you're reversing,
right,
you don't have as much control of the car, which would probably make it even easier to get out of the way if you're behind the vehicle too, or on the side. So even they know that, they train them not to put yourself in front of it. He literally walked around from the right side of the vehicle and literally planted himself in front of the vehicle and got off three shots. And even if he like, even if he was like trying, feared for his life, and he was trying to get out the way and all that, and then like just did like a defensive like shot, the shot would have been kind of wild and wouldn't have been accurate. If in his heart he was really trying to get out the way and then just did like a defensive shot, it would have only been one. It wouldn't have had no accuracy on it. It wouldn't have went right through the windshield and hit her right in her face. He got three shots off.
It was reckless.
Someone getting three shots off is not in fear,
right,
of their life. And he moved out the way and got three shots off, an accurate shot. He made sure that shot was accurate.
Right. It was just reckless.
Very reckless. If nothing else, he should be charged with reckless endangering safety. Not only because he fucked her up, but he endangered everyone else that was around there that he could have hit with one, yeah, of them bullets. So, but I'm worried that he's not even going to be charged
or disciplined in any way.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm worried about. That is what I'm worried about. And I don't want to hear people trying to use that excuse. Oh, well, he was just ran out. He just had an incident, you know, the whatever, 6 months ago or whatever they said it was. Wouldn't that make him like,
that maybe he wasn't ready to come back.
Right. And wouldn't that make you for certain, like, make sure to like not place yourself in front of a vehicle because of what happened before?
Right.
He literally walked around the right side of that vehicle and planted himself in front of the vehicle. All right, y'all, it is Friday, though. All right, we got, let's see what else we got going on.
If you're feeling exhausted, puffy, anxious, foggy, gaining weight, or just not like yourself, you're not imagining it. Women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s are experiencing massive hormonal shifts, and no one is explaining what's actually happening. I'm Katie Whalen, co-founder of Joy. I built Joy because I lived this. The fatigue, the mood swings, the weight changes, the confusion. Your symptoms are biological, not personal. And AI-generated lab reports won't fix them. Every Joy lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who specializes in women's hormones and connects every biomarker to how you feel. Energy, metabolism, mood, sleep, skin, weight, everything. Then, we personalize real solutions. Hormone therapy, peptide therapy, supplements, and lifestyle protocols. Get started at joyandblokes.com today. This month, new customers get 50% off labs, and you can add our estrogen face cream for just $1 with clinician approval. Use promo code PODCAST at joyandblokes.com.